Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101. Are you ready?
To wear. You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. You are at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at degenerates 975. Can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour, mostly sports, little TV.
You see what Adam Wainwright had to say?
I did not.
A player's strike is likely looming for Major League Baseball once the current collective bargaining agreement runs its course, according to Adam Wainwright. His quote: unless something changes, there's going to be a strike 100%. I don't think anybody is hiding that. I'm just worried people are going to walk out mid-season. You've got 30 owners who have a sabermetric box that will sign players when they were in that box. They don't take any intangibles or anything else into play, and that's a sad thing. You have to realize this is about winning. If Bryce Harper wants 10 years and he's 26 years old, is anyone saying that he's going to have 10 MVPs? No, but he might have three or four in there. The same can be said about Manny Machado. These guys are superstar players. The current CBA was signed prior to 2017. It expires after 2021. But I'll be honest. I don't know what kind of good a strike is going to do these guys. So you say, okay, well, you don't want to get paid. That's fine. At some point, I think the owners seem like they've put their foot in the ground and said, we're holding on right here. We're digging in. So it could get ugly eventually. I don't know when, but it could get ugly eventually.
Well, it's still hard for me to think these guys should be striking considering their sport. How well they're paid compared to
everybody
else.
You're not lying. And I mean, what if they said, what in the collective bargaining, what if they say, hey, we'll start paying more, but the contracts won't be fully guaranteed anymore? Do you think baseball players would take that? Of course not.
No.
It really is like saying with these, the way these things are built, these baseball players are basically saying, yeah, I know I'm only good for about eight of these years, but I still want to get paid for those extra two. So let's just make it a 10-year deal. And that's and owners have gotten small, they've gotten wise to it because nobody's good for 10 years anymore. It's just once you get through that initial contract, you sign that next big deal for 10 years, the last couple of years of that are just a waste. And owners are saying, it's just not worth it to us. And baseball players are like, well, what do you mean it's not worth it? Look what A-Rod got. Look what Albert Pujols got. It's like, well, yeah, Albert Pujols got that, and the Angels are dummies for it. So we don't want to be dummies. I know you don't want to. I know you want to be just like Albert Pujols because he got over on people. We're trying not to be the people you get over on. It's just, I think that there needs to be an adjustment on what worth is to, and not just, I mean, the owners have clearly adjusted what they think the worth is. Players seem unwilling to adjust what they believe it is.
Well, I think it's more agents than players. They're the ones who are out there trying to keep the market built up to where it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. And try to keep pushing the market because those are the guys who make money off of it. So I had this list of potential tag candidates and just of interest. I think one of the teams that we talked about, we haven't talked about the Patriots. They've got, they usually don't mess with the franchise tag.
No.
And they've got Trent Brown, who played very well for them at tackle. They're obviously not going to, if they didn't tag Solder, they're not going to tag Brown.
Well, here's the problem with trying to tag Trent Brown is if I were to say the Patriots are going to tag one player this offseason, which I don't even know if they'll do that, my bet is it would be Trey Flowers.
Yeah, I would think him or, you know, frankly, it's not the worst thing in the world to tag a kicker because Kowski's a free agent.
Yeah. That seems really unlikely for the Patriots.
I think they've done it before, though. I think they did it with Vinatieri back in the day.
Did they? Yeah. Well, I just thought they just let Vinatieri walk when the time came.
Well, eventually did, but I'm pretty sure they did it once because it's not that much money.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is pretty valuable to them. But, you know, I think that's interesting that Trent Brown would hit the market because if I'm the Texans, I'm...
That's a guy you want?
Yeah.
I mean, man, again, we talk about this all the time. I feel like players who leave the Patriots and what they become.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck. And what was Trent Brown before he got to the Patriots? He was a guy. He was a throw-in guy.
He's still better than anything they have on the roster. And that's why.
But if you're going to have to pay him like he's Jason Peters.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does come down to what you're willing to pay him. But he's an upgrade over what you have. And I'm the first one to say don't go get these Patriots guys.
But, do we still think that Nick Foles is going to be tagged? What's the latest on Nick Foles? Are the Eagles going to do this or not?
I haven't heard anything, which I think they want to do it and then trade him so that he doesn't wind up with the Redskins or the Giants.
Right.
Which, yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think Nick Foles is good enough of a player that I would be scared to have him in my division.
Yeah. I mean...
Like I get it when the Packers let Favre walk and he went to the Vikings, it was like, oh no, that's Brett Favre. Nick Foles, not Brett Favre. Like, I mean, he's good and he won you a Super Bowl.
Just let him walk.
That's the way I see it, because you pay that dude what's the franchise tag for quarterbacks these days, like $26 million. You give that guy $26 million, and what if you can't trade him? And whoops.
Well, you got a really nice backup.
We've got a $26 million backup.
DeMarcus Lawrence is another one that I mentioned for the Cowboys because he got tagged last year for $17.1 million. So this year it'll be $20.52 million. And then in 2020 it would be $29.52 million. So yeah. I think I tag him for $20 million. I mean, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And... You know, if you get one more year out of him, obviously if he doesn't want a long-term deal, so, or maybe he does, they just haven't been able to do one.
Haven't been able to get it done.
Landon Collins and...
That's, you got to.
Right.
Or sign him long-term, but they've got to keep him.
Yeah. The Vikings actually have everybody locked up, except for Anthony Barr, which is pretty good. Bears don't have anyone. What about Mark Ingram if you're the Saints?
Nope. Bye.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, you've got an elite running back now in Alvin Kamara. And it's I understand that he's not an every down back, but you can't pay one running back top five money and he's the second best running back on your team. It doesn't make financial sense.
The Rams are kind of interesting because you've got Ndamukong Suh, who...
I don't think they can. Yeah. I mean, I think he would be nice to have. But that's a lot to lock him up with.
Yeah, and they're tight against the cap. Dante Fowler's another one. Both those guys played well in the playoffs, but didn't really play well.
Marcus Peters, another one.
And LaMarcus Joyner, they tagged last year. If they did it again, it would be 13.5. So
yeah, the Rams may have just shot their shot and missed. But the Rams are also a team that maybe there's going to be any shortage of offensive players, especially who are interested in playing with the Rams. So they may get some guys who are seeking them out instead of the other way around.
Yeah, I think but I like what they did last year. They went for it.
Yeah.
And it got them to the Super Bowl. And that's kind of what I wish the Texans would do this year. Just go for it. Take a swing. Because the truth is, the Rams may take a step back this year, but they're set up to be successful for the long haul. And, you have to replace some guys. I think they could easily get back in 2 years. Mark says Niners planning on tagging Robbie Gould, wish he was going back to the Bears, but oh well. Yeah,
the Bears, we talked about this. They paid Cody Parkey. Like at this point, I know that it's a sensitive subject with the Bears right now, but I don't think that they really have a choice. I mean, they locked him in. So, and that was before this year. It would be costly for them to let Cody Parkey get away at this point.
You would have I can't believe they paid that guy $5 million.
See what I'm saying? And the contract was dumb. Especially, these kickers, that's the one position where you mess up as a kicker, they're looking to just dump you. Like, they don't care.
You should never pay a kicker.
You really shouldn't. Unless it's Justin Tucker. It's the greatest kicker of all time.
Stop.
You disagree? Come on.
He's one of the best in the league. There's no question.
He's one of the best ever. I think he's the most accurate ever, for sure.
I don't know. I saw somebody else that surprised me was actually, the most accurate currently. I have to find it.
Number one, Justin Tucker. 90%. Come on, dude. Come on. Can't beat that. He's at the Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Stop. Stop it. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Everybody needs to be a part of them. Never be enough when the prodigal son has gone to run. Has gone to the
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Taylor says Mike Vanderjagt was also the most accurate kicker for a time. And
we looked it up during the break.
Yeah. And it's funny, I was asking, was that the idiot kicker?
That was.
Yeah, and he confirmed that. So,
yeah. I thought it was funny because if you look at the all-time most accurate kicker list.
Yeah.
8 of the top 10 are currently active. The only two that aren't are Mike Vanderjagt, who is 6th all-time, and Nate Kading, who is 9th. Justin Tucker's number one at 90.1%. Second place is Robbie Gould at 87.7%. Justin Tucker's the best kicker by far. I mean, it's not even, these other guys, these jokers aren't even close to him. They're not even sniffing his kicker jock. You're gonna disagree? You disagree?
No, I just think your love for the guy is it's a little unnerving, to be honest. I'm starting to think you've got a Justin Tucker tattoo on your junk.
Maybe I do.
So
maybe I'll get one.
Yeah, I still.
I guess you're more of a Graham Gano guy.
I'm more of an Adam Vinatieri guy.
Okay,
although he's too old now. What he did in the playoff game was embarrassing.
Adam Vinatieri, 16th all time.
I would have thought much higher, but I bet his...
It's gone down, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he's just... But he's, I mean, I think the guy, he still had a really good year. I mean, I'm kidding about the playoff thing, but he's had a nice run.
Yeah. That guy was in the NFL when I was in high school, and he's still in the NFL. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
He looks old now, though. He needs the ditzet beard.
I don't like that either. It's a bet. I mean, I say that as I grow a gray beard right now, but it's not a good look to me.
Yeah, he needs to mix some color in there or something because it makes him look really old. 713-780 ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. So I guess this was expected, but Netflix canceled The Punisher and Jessica Jones. I guess that was all
coming. No surprise.
Part of the whole once they whacked Daredevil.
Yeah.
Which I had really gotten to like.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad to see that go, but those are gone now, too. I haven't gotten through all the Punishers yet, but it's not bad.
I haven't gotten to Punisher Season 2 yet because I'm still finishing up Daredevil at some point. Now I've got to catch up on my DVR because I'm switching back to U-verse.
Yeah.
Remember I told you they'd like tried to tell me U-verse is going to be so expensive now that... I guess they're just trying to push DirecTV on you.
Well, yeah, I thought they'd gotten rid of UVerse since they owned them both.
Now they're like, hey, do you want UVerse again? It could save you like $100 a month.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I'm fighting everybody's like, oh, cut the cord, and including my wife is like, let's cut the cord. And I'm like,
No, that didn't work out the way I hoped it would.
So if I can get all the same channels for $100 less, I figure that's going to take some pressure off me. So I said, okay, we can switch to UVerse. The problem is now I'm going to lose all my DVR stuff.
Hmm.
And most everything you can get on demand now, but you know how it is.
Yeah, I'd hate to lose that because I've got some stuff, like some of mine are things like TV shows I did that you can't get anymore. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Hey, I have interesting story for you. Let's say you're an inmate.
Okay.
You're in prison. And you can actually do some good. Because apparently in Newport Richey, Florida, there was a one-year-old locked in an SUV. The mother of the child said her husband strapped her daughter into the car seat and tossed the keys into the front seat. And when he closed the back door, he realized it was locked.
Okay.
So, who should come along but a group of inmates who were repairing medians nearby? And one guy used his skills as
a ghetto locksmith?
He used a clothes hanger to unlock the door within minutes.
There we go.
And obviously, he'd done that before.
Yeah.
So, but good for them. They did the right thing. Child was not hurt. And... you know, that's a good inmate.
Yeah.
So
there's good and bad people on both sides, right, Fred?
I think in this case,
isn't that a Fred quote?
No, that's not a Fred quote. I've borrowed that quote from the president.
Oh, okay.
So,
but this is what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much this kind of thing. No bad hombres here.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Your girl Alexandra Daddario, she's got a new movie coming out too.
Oh, what kind of movie? What's it rated?
Doesn't say, but it's an indie movie called One Night in San Diego.
Sounds promising.
Well, it is about BFFs who embark on a road trip to pursue a romantic connection, but their travels put their friendship to the ultimate test.
Yeah, because
they're both naked, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be. Like, so here's the deal. Here's how I picture this movie unfolding. And if I were writing a movie, this is how it would go. Alexandra Daddario and her best friend, who's also pretty hot, but obviously not as hot as her, go on a road trip because...
Jenna Ushkowitz.
Okay, because Jenna Ushkowitz has met a guy on the internet and has fallen in love with him via the internet. So my girl said, Alexandra says... okay, I'll drive you out there since you don't have your driver's license because you got a DUI, you know, 2 years ago and you still haven't paid it off. I'll drive us out there and you can meet this guy. So they do. And when they get there, they're partying because what's her name? Ushkowitz. She's a party girl. And
Ushkowitz.
She gets drunk and passes out. And then Alexandra and old dude hook up. And right about that time, Dushkowitz, whatever, wakes up and sees them. And it's like a big scene. And now they've got to decide what's more important, this boy or friendship. But it's already too late because she's peeled her top off and rode him into the sunset. And I don't have an ending really planned out yet, but
it'll be a happy one though.
Yeah, yeah. That's my plot so far.
Jay says AJ looks with glasses like a cross between Scott Van Pelt and the Big Show.
Okay. I don't know how to take that, but I'll whatever.
Robert says, I guess Justin Tucker is the Alexandria Daddario of the NFL to AJ.
Yeah. Sounds about right. If she was a kicker, it's probably who she'd be.
Yeah, but she didn't go to Texas, so.
Oh, I don't care about that. I just care about who can you count on, Fred? Who can you count on in that big moment of True Detective to really turn it from like a really good show to an epic, unforgettable season?
This
that will go down in television history.
This Jenna Ushkowitz is pretty cute, too.
Yeah, she is. But if you're the guy in San Diego and Jenna passes out and Alexandra's like, hey, Jenna's passed out. You want to throw this down? Are you going to say no?
Oh, wait. No, that's not the one. There were three women's photos.
Oh, okay.
This is a third woman. She's not that great.
Jenna's not that great?
No.
Oh, well, see.
So I was trying to figure out who the middle woman
was. It's starting to make sense.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And if you're watching on the live stream, brought to you by Twin Peaks, you'll now see the legend that is Lance Erline. What's going on, Lance?
What's going on, guys?
Sports. A lot of
sports.
You're
sporting it up today?
We're sporting it up.
Are you? What, a lot of all-star game talk?
No, none of that.
Okay.
We did just discuss the plot of a new movie that's coming out, so that was good.
Which is?
It's a movie that I just helped to write.
Oh, it's a new movie.
Yeah.
He just wants to see.
Trying to get in on your action now, Fred.
This movie's way better than anything Fred's coming out.
Is it?
It's got an Alexandra Daddario nude scene.
It's a glorified porno.
Well...
You don't see penetration. Skinamax? Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, they just make it on TV. I don't know that anyone cares anymore. It used to be a big deal, but now it's just like... Yeah,
boobs are boobs.
What am I waiting up for, you know, 11:30 for anymore? Yeah. 1 o'clock at no more? That's, you know...
Big just, deal. Just show it at 9 p.m.
Hit a bathroom and an iPad.
Yeah.
So...
You watching True Detective?
No, not yet. I'm finishing Mr. Robot Season 3 between, like... I give myself... A 20-minute lunch break and a 20-minute dinner break when I'm up here. I've already eaten my dinner at 3:30. It was 4 o'clock. That was probably a poor move. But so I like to say, like, oh, I'm doing keto, so this will make 16-hour fast easier. Well, I guess if you're eating a dinner at 4, the odds of me eating again are high, though.
So next Monday, we're supposed to do it this Monday, but Tyler decided to do the – Papa John's Ronnie Killen brisket pizza instead, which I've been told was...
Wait. Papa John's Ronnie Killen's brisket pizza? What is that?
So apparently Ronnie Killen got together with Papa John's and they're going to do a pizza together.
The local guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith.
And according to what I heard, the reviews are in. It ain't good. So I don't recommend you try it.
The quality control is probably tough because...
Well, that's what I said. Is Ronnie Killen freezing briskets and passing it on to Papa John's? And they're like, no. Basically, he told them how to smoke the briskets and gave them like the rub recipe. And I'm like, then that's not Ronnie Killen's brisket.
Ronnie's got his rub at HEB.
Right.
So you can... that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
I can't imagine it's any good.
Pretty sneaky.
We were supposed to go to Pluckers for all-you-can-eat wings today.
Yeah.
And then Tyler decided to do that instead.
Are you allowed to do that with, like, you just can't have any sauce on it, right?
You can have some sauce.
Like sweet, like a barbecue sauce? It's got sugar in it.
You can't have barbecue sauce. You can have buffalo sauce, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like a garlic sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, you just got to know.
I feel like that's... oh, it's probably got mayonnaise, game. Whatever. You're probably okay with that. Yeah.
But it's all you can eat wings, and I wanted to do that today. And he's like, no, we're getting this pizza instead. But if you're going to be eating keto, maybe by Monday, you'll be ready to go with us to all you can eat wings.
Well, you can just scrape the pizza clean, and you're good.
You could.
Yeah.
But apparently the toppings were gross anyway, so what was the point?
Well, so long, Papa John's sponsorship. Yeah. We'll see you later.
Listen, I mean, step your game up.
Nah, I don't think we have them anyway.
I don't think we do either.
Now we really don't.
Well, guess we learned.
Make your pizza better, yeah. I guess, right?
If it's better, I would be willing to speak for it, but...
my kids are basic with pizza anyway. They just like...
the pepperoni or they eat cheese.
They cheese. I have to get a cheese and a pepperoni. Like, what are y'all doing with cheese?
Dude, if my kids ask for a cheese pizza, it's a simple no.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you can get some meat.
We're dealing with some eating issues at home with pickiness. It's... you let that go. I'm telling you right now, you let that go too long, and it will turn into a disaster.
Allow it. Our kids eat whatever we eat. That's the rule.
It took an hour to finish one small plate for dinner yesterday. I made all my kids wait up for... they wanted to watch All-Star Game, so we put it on pause, and one kid shut the whole thing down for like an hour.
Nope. Sorry, bro. This is dinner.
Plates like that big.
You hungry or you not hungry?
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's...
don't you miss all that stuff, Fred?
Not at all.
Not? You don't?
Not even...
no, Fred's got a new life now, where his dog eats his computer charge cord every week. So,
how old is your dog? 2?
No, she's like I think 16 weeks now. So 2 months.
Oh, yeah. You got long.
16 weeks, 2 months. What kind of...
you better order.
What kind of math is that?
4 months.
You better order about 10 computer chargers.
Oh, I know. I'm already having to order a new.
Please tell me it's a lab, because that'll happen for the next 6 years.
No, it's a Dalmatian.
Oh, that's probably pretty pretty.
It's going to be the same, too.
She's very active.
Yeah, and those razor sharp teeth that puppies have.
Oh yeah, she's.
You'll have scratches all up and down your arm at some point.
That's her.
Yeah. So my dog, we had to have a brand new... our old homeowners lied about water damage to the and water entering in the garage. So we ended up having to sue them. We got money, built a new garage, brought it all the way down, rebuilt the whole thing, and then, had it wired. I mean, just regular garage door open, garage door closed. And that dog, within the first...
not the house you're in now.
Yeah, house I'm in now. Dog ate through...
you don't own that house?
Yeah, I do.
Then who are you talking to? Oh, the previous homeowners.
Previous homeowners tried to hide. Okay. Yeah, they tried to hide.
They lied.
They tried to hide issues. Yeah, they were covering up the outside. Yeah, it was a sneaky move.
Okay.
And, and so the dog just ate through all the wiring for a garage door. Never had it fixed. It's been like that for about 9 years.
Damn.
Nah, not 9 years. Probably about 7 years. Not the best feeling in the world. But it happened. So, oh well. Too bad.
Who you writing up these days?
The rest of the combine guys. It's some safeties right now. I can break this here for you guys. I reached out to a couple of teams about... so Marquise Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver for Oklahoma.
Yep.
Adam Schefter came out. He's about 168 pounds. He's very explosive, but he's very thin. And Adam Schefter came out and said he had the Lisfranc injury and a surgery. And so I reached out to an NFL team and actually a couple and said, hey, Schefter's got that he should be back by camp. Is that just an agent spinning that? Because I thought it takes longer to recover. And they said, no, the information that we've got from our medical staff is that he should be okay by by camp. Like, we expect him to be back, and we don't think he'll knock him out of the first round, which I was all set to knock him out of the first round. But I guess according to teams, they don't believe that's going to be the case. They'll obviously know more about it when they get to the combine and get to do their medicals. But that's going to be a big deal. I've been looking at safeties. I have cornerbacks coming up next, so I'll have a bunch of cornerbacks between now and the time that I leave for the combine next Tuesday. And it's just going to be pretty much I save them till the end because I hate having to write defensive backs because they just take longer. But I will that's what I'll be looking at, and that just happens to coincide with the Texans. You know, some will argue maybe their biggest need after free agency if they get involved with Trent Brown in free agency. I think you're going to see them reach out to – I think they're going to get involved with a quarterback too, backup quarterback in free agency too. Keep your eye on that.
Okay. Like what kind? Like what level of a quarterback
good,
are we talking about here?
Like quality backup?
Like Kaepernick level?
Kaepernick level, but not Kaepernick.
Not Kaepernick, okay.
Yeah, but it'll be a good quality backup I think they will look to target, and we'll see. We'll see if that takes place. But I do think
are you talking about like Teddy Bridgewater? You think that?
Well, like that caliber, you know, like that caliber. Anybody who gets cut off waiver wires, I think they're going to be involved in getting a good backup. But there's going to be a lot of competition. You're going to have the Eagles want a backup for Carson Wentz. The Washington Redskins are obviously very, very interested. So there's going to be competition for quarterbacks without question, because Washington and now Philadelphia, I think they have some concerns about Wentz staying healthy. You know, Wentz had injury. He was hurt two different times in college, and now this is one time in pros. This is now three of the last 5 years Wentz has had some injury issues to worry about, maybe three of the last six.
So when you evaluate, obviously there's going to be positions you're better at than others. What position do you feel like you do the best job of evaluating talent?
You know, everyone thinks offensive line because I learned it so early, and I'm pretty good at offensive line, but I feel like I'm pretty good with running backs and defensive linemen, linebackers, because it's the same. I'm looking at the same, you know, that box of between the tackles and how guys move. I think I'm pretty good, but I'm actually not because I've missed on guys like Quan Alexander. I was too low on Deion Jones. I was high on T-Gray Scales from Indiana who went like undrafted. There's guys that I trust instincts. That is really a position where height, weight, speed is a big deal. Your athletic ability, your speed, if you run over a 4.7, you're not going to be a starting linebacker in the league, or you're not going to be a good one. So you might start, you're not going to be considered a good one. There are minimum standards that almost all the good linebackers hit. And that's why Devin White, I'm not crazy about Devin White from LSU. I know there are some others who aren't. Like, I think he'll be a first rounder, but there's a couple teams that I talk to who say, oh, when they look like that and run like that, they end up being players. It's that simple. If they're big, strong, and can run, forget, you know, don't get too caught up in the instincts and all that stuff. But I really feel like I get a good feel for offensive linemen. It's amazing to me how many scouts and really how many offensive line coaches, because I'll talk to some line coaches. We'll bounce players back and forth off of each other. And it's amazing to me how a lot of those guys, you know, you think coaches are good evaluators, but a lot of times they're not great evaluators. They're good at maybe coaching guys, but they're not always great at recognizing talent that will project. And that was something that was hard for me to believe, but then the more you talk to coaches, the more you figure out. I remember there was a guy named Jeremiah Patassi from Utah. I think it might have been my first year of doing draft write-ups. And this offensive line coach for the Titans is like, man, I really like Patassi. I'm like, ugh, I think he's late rounder at best. I don't think, you know, he can't bend. He can't play low. He gets off balance. He can't play with any leverage. They ended up drafting him, I want to say, in the third round. And he was out of the league by the second year. They already cut him by the second year. I made a mistake with Xavier Suofilo. And with his pass protection, I saw the holes, and I said, well, that'll get fixed. You know, that'll get corrected. And it didn't get corrected. And so now there's a guard from Penn State named Connor McGovern who I see some same pass pro issues, and I'm like, I'm going to take this serious this time. I still think he's a second or third rounder, but I take those mistakes, those flaws seriously. And learning what can be coached and what can't be coached and corrected, that's a really big deal. Running backs, to me, I studied a lot of the Texans run game when Alex, you know, I used to write about it in the Chronicle too, in the blog, when Alex Gibbs had the outside zone, and I was just fascinated by this concept that you could take just average running backs and turn them into really productive guys. And Arian Foster, who actually was talented, but you know, he was one of them, and there was a history with Alex Gibbs. And so I watched a video about Alex Gibbs. I talked to my dad about outside zone stuff. I studied what the Texans did with Gary Kubiak, and I got to where I had a pretty good feel for running backs. And even back then, and I think it kind of sticks with me now, like Chris Carson, I think I had a pretty good evaluation on Chris Carson, who's now a starter in Seattle, on Thomas Rawls when he came out. Sony Michel jumped on him with a pretty good grade. Saquon's not hard. Everybody in the world.
Oh, I knew that. He was going to be good too. I'm an expert.
But see, I'm a big fan of Iowa State. David Montgomery. I know if you're familiar with his stylings. He just knows how to play running back. He's a good running back. A guy that I'm not high on that others are. Outside from all of his massive injury issues, is Rodney Anderson. I just think I see an average running back with Rodney Anderson, a guy who could be a backup, who can get you some starts, but will never be anything special. I don't see some of the same stuff that other people see there. I was high on Alvin Kamara. When you see it on tape, you know it. And the only reason that everyone backed off of Kamara a little bit is because he never even had more than 16 carries ever in college. And yet when you watched his game against A&M, he looked like the best running back in the draft that year. But no one wanted to buy in on just one game against a bad A&M defense.
We were just talking earlier in the show about Mark Ingram and if the Saints could or should franchise him. I don't think he can, right? I mean, he's a good player, but he's nothing special.
Man.
And
I mean, you can find running backs. I just think paying that amount of money for Mark Ingram when you have...
He would be the second best running back on your team.
Yeah, you could literally draft a running back in the fourth round. I'd have to see what the Saints have in terms of draft picks, if they gave any away. You could literally draft a running back in the fourth round to complement Kamara in that offense. It might not be Mark Ingram, but I saw a running back who my comp was Mark Ingram, Elijah Holyfield from Georgia. And to me, he runs and plays just like Mark Ingram, and you might be able to get him like in the third, maybe even fourth round. So, you know, I would target a guy like that. Go find somebody who plays like Mark Ingram, who does what Mark Ingram does, and pair him with Kamara and save the money. That's what smart teams do. And it's nothing personal. Doesn't mean Mark Ingram can't play. It's a constant. Remember that game where you slide the numbers? You're always sliding the numbers to try to get them in the right order, that little game.
Like a slide puzzle?
Yeah. That's what salary cap is. You got to learn when you slide, you know, okay, we're going to take away this amount for running back, and we're going to prepare to give it to Mike Thomas at wide receiver.
Right.
You're constantly just reshuffling your salary. So you got to know when you go cheap or when you go cheaper with young player so that you can pay veteran player. And you can't get caught in salary cap hell. Like to me, Clowney is a concern, because Clowney is we talked about it on the show this morning, me and John. Clowney is an elite run defender. He's an above average pass rusher. He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good to very good defensive end. He's not an elite defensive end.
And you'd have to pay him like an elite defensive end.
You gotta pay him like an elite defensive end. You know you're paying him more than his value probably is relative to his production. Then you gotta fade any kind of injuries or any kind of practice habits, whatever the case may be. And then you got to hope that when he gets that money, he's going to be as dedicated as you want him to be. And those are concerns to me, and that's why I'd franchise.
We're talking about – well, I'll let you get out of here. We're over break anyway, but that's Lance Irwin.
Oh, there is no first – oh, wow. Yeah, the Saints are – yeah, but you can get a running back fifth, sixth, so the Saints don't have a first, a third, or a fourth this year.
Good luck.
So maybe you do hang on to, to Mark Ingram.
All right. That's Lance Zierlein, the bench 7-9. Appreciate it, Lance.
Thanks,
guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Maxed out minimum wage. My brain is a time bomb. I'm saying goodbye. Mom, I'll see you again.
This is The Blitz on ESPN. 97.5.
I'm drowning in myself.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Do want to let you guys know, Friday we'll be at Big City Wings in Kingwood doing the show live there. And then Saturday night I'll be out at Sam Houston Race Park from 7 to 9. We need to give away some spots tomorrow. Make sure we get those because, so yeah, up north for a couple of appearances this week.
North o' the wall.
And then we're going to be out a bunch here in March. So we'll keep everybody abreast, as it were.
Yeah.
All right.
Abreast.
It's because we were talking about
yep.
Alexander. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I think Lamont sent me this, but I know you remember Pizza Rat.
Yeah.
We have a new rat. A picture of a rat seemingly passed out on a sidewalk while holding on to an empty Hennessy liquor bottle.
Nice.
Was posted on Twitter.
And, nice.
Yeah, so we now have Henny Rat.
The cops come along and push him along and say, hey, get out of here. You can't be here, rat.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, this you can't pass out here on the street, buddy. But that's about the most awesome picture ever.
Let me see. Did you tweet it?
No, I did not tweet it, but he's totally passed out.
That's pretty good.
Wrapped around the Hennessy bottle.
That's pretty good.
It looks staged, but hey, it's still good.
Big deal.
Yeah.
It's probably a dead rat that someone put next to a liquor bottle.
I wouldn't want to touch a dead rat.
No, but there's somebody who would.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of comedy.
Probably the person who drank the Hennessy.
Maybe.
Well, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Guys, there are a lot of different energy providers out there, and there's a lot of different offers that come along with them. Free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, the list goes on, and you may have fallen for one of those offers, then months later found out you're paying a higher rate or they're throwing additional fees under your bill. Triangle, they don't think that's right, and it's not right. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you'll pay, period. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriangleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriangleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
ESPN 97.5.